won't keep you long tonight. We'll have a nice little study of this Old Testament, a couple of verses, and I'll have you on your way. We've had a good day, and we want to finish up with God's Word in the Old Testament, a word that we often talk about, and we do more talking about than experiencing, is the word joy. I've found that it's much easier to talk about joy and how to get it and how great it is than to actually experience it consistently. And oftentimes, we as Christians could be better described not as joyful, but rather as stressed or worried or anxious or discouraged, frustrated, irritated, sometimes even angry. And that shouldn't be the case, because there is such a thing in our lives as joy, the joy of the Lord. And before we read our text, just a couple of verses this evening, I'd like to tell you for a moment what's taking place in this book and chapter leading up to this, so you won't think that I'm just pulling it totally out of context here. But the Israelites have been on a long vacation away from God and His Word. In fact, it had been a really long time since they had really worshiped properly and really heard the Word of God the way it comes out of his Bible. And so consequently, they began to live their lives their own ways. They're still God's people, but they just lost sight of God. So Nehemiah and Ezra, the scribe, here in this particular book, have the people gathered together in one spot, and they begin to read the Word of God aloud to them. That was common practice then with the Old Testament books, because they didn't have books on every shelf like we do today. They were often printed in such a way that they were bulky, and very few people had their own copy, and so many times the Word of God would have to be read to the people. And they begin to read the Word of God aloud to the people, and soon everybody that was listening began to realize their condition, and they began to realize how far they were out of God's will, and it caused them to repent. They began to weep, and they began to cry, and all of this is taking place in Nehemiah chapter 9. And so they repent, and they make themselves right with God. And now we find ourselves over in chapter 12, and I just want to read two verses. We'll begin in verse 42, and then we'll read verse 43, and that'll be it. Now, you can notice there in verse 42, there's some really difficult names there, so bear with me as I kind of work my way through that. And David and Cooper and Albert and Dwayne and Joe and Daryl and Larry and the singers sang aloud with Jezariah the overseer. And that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. In other words, they had become so joyful over the things of God and their repentant hearts and being back in the Word of God that even rumors began to spread about what had happened with God's people and how joyful they were. And so it says there in verse 43 that God made them rejoice with great joy. And so I just want to share with you one simple fact about joy. It comes from the Lord. Now, the joy that we talk about, it can't be confused with necessarily happiness, okay? But the joy that we talk about has a divine origin, and it just comes from God. God has a monopoly on it, okay? This kind of joy doesn't come to those who don't belong to God. And so since the fall of man, way back in the Garden of Eden, man has sought to find his joy in the wrong places. And we've really sought to find ourselves the joy in the places of Satan. You know, Satan was a serpent, or the serpent was represented by Satan there. And God cursed the serpent and said, "Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life." And ever since then, a snake has crawled on his belly, okay, and ate the dust. Well, the sad fact is sometimes we think that our joy can come from these low spots. And we lurk in the dust of the world, and we seek to find delight and happiness in the low things of life. And, of course, we're constantly disappointed. And the fact is true joy comes from the Lord. True joy comes from above. It's produced in heaven. And again, as I said, God has a hedge on it, a monopoly. He has it all. And unless we come to Him for it, we won't get it. And He distributes it to His children. And then, even further than that, mostly to His children who are properly in His will. You know, usually many times when we've lost sight of the joy of the Lord, or we're not experiencing it, many times it's not because we're not Christians, it's because we're Christians out of His will. So don't misunderstand me. When I talk about this joy, I'm not talking about what I mean. We can not have joy and still laugh a little bit, okay? Joy, we can still have some everyday happiness and smile and these sort of things, but I'm not talking about temporal happiness. I'm not talking about a big belly laugh after a joke. I'm speaking of a joy that fills us and stays with us even through life's difficulties. I'm not talking about just having a smile on our face all the time, because quite frankly, we can have the joy of the Lord in our life and be experiencing trials and troubles that have us in tears. But yet we still deep down possess the joy of the Lord. And amidst those trying times and those negative experiences, the joy of the Lord is really carrying us through, even through those tears. The joy of the Lord comes to the healthy believer who rejoices in God Himself. We're happy because we know who God is. We're happy because we know the character of God. And we're happy because we know we're right with God. We're happy because we know that God is our God. Okay? What more can we ask for? Is there anything more joyful than knowing that I am a child of God? Just admiring His character and saying, that's my Father. He has His hand on my life. His perfection, His power, His kindness, His mercy, His wisdom, all of that I have access to through Him because He's my Father, okay? It's the same God, when you think about it, it's the same God that fed Elijah in the brook Cherith with ravens bringing him meat. It's the same God who promised to provide, that same God promises to provide for you and I. It's the same God that protected Daniel from the mouth of the hungry lions when he was thrown into the lion's den. That's the same God that promises to take care and protect you and I. It's the same God that allowed David to walk up to a giant, well-trained military man named Goliath, that was head and shoulders above everybody, not head and shoulders, he was several feet bigger than everybody, and David was able to walk up to him with a single stone and a slingshot and take him down. That's the same God that fights our battles for us. And so that's the beginning of it. That's the beginning of our joy, when we consider that that's the same God that's ours. That's the start of it. But then when you begin to think that because we have accepted His Son, His forgiveness is ours. The forgiveness of sins. Not only that, but He loves us. You know, I can understand that God has mercy on me, okay? And I can understand that God created me. I can understand those things. But the fact that He loves me, such an insignificant creature, that He pities me, yeah, that makes sense to me. But that He loves me, I mean, that brings you joy when you think about it. It's the miracle of miracles. These things, when we seriously consider them, that's what brings joy to your life. It's the joy of the Lord, the kind of joy that has to be cultivated, though. We have to ask ourselves, and as I told you this morning, I have a lot of things to work on, but how often do we pray? How often do we talk to Him and seek His face, the one who saved us? How often do we slow down enough to read His Word, just a little bit, if nothing else, just to feed upon His Word? How often, and this is really the tough one because it mostly doesn't happen most of our lives, do we even sit and just meditate on the truths of His Word, the things, the deep things of God? We make time for everything else but our prayers are short and sweet, our Bible reading is hurriedly, and our meditation upon the things of God is really non-existent. Why? Because I believe that Satan has tricked us. He's brought us into his trap, and the trap is this: get them too busy. Make them so hurriedly. Maybe get them busy doing the things of God. Maybe get them busy doing ministry. Exhaust them. Cause them to go so hard that when they do slow down to read God's word right before bedtime, they'll fall asleep first. That's his trap. Satan gets us so busy and so stressed out that we can't possibly commune with God and get the proper truths into our life that bring us that joy. We can even still get to church, still get to Sunday school, still preach, still make my visits and all of this, but doing all of it in our own power because we haven't had time to draw the strength from God. And there's a price to pay for that. And the biggest price is this: the forfeiture of our joy. I'm not saying that nothing's fun anymore. You know, there's hardly a day go life that we don't laugh at something, okay? But I'm talking about that deep sense of no matter what happens, I'm right with God. Not just for salvation, but I'm right with Him. I'm in fellowship with Him. I'm close to Him. We meet together regularly. We talk. He intimately knows and understands me. And therefore, I've got confidence and I've got strength and I've got courage to face whatever obstacles life throws at me. Is that kind of joy present in your life? Or have you done as I have many times? Got too busy, fallen into Satan's trap, and forfeited the most precious treasure of all, and that's being content in the Lord. If you and I right now are that person that is so busy and so stressed by the world. You know, I thought about this. I've said it to you before, but I thought about it earlier when I was thinking about this message. You know, we spend so much time in today's world trying to pay for the things that will save us time. Isn't that the truth? We spend so much time hustling about to finance the things that are supposed to make our life easier. It's crazy. We've been caught in a trap. Satan has us right where he wants us. He can't steal our salvation. Because we're God's, always and forever, okay? But he can steal our joy and the joy of our salvation. He can make us where our serving God is just a routine. It's just an obligation. We're just doing it because that's what's expected of us. And when we get that way, we can keep checking all the boxes, but we're just getting by. And the first thing you know, if we're not careful, we'll get burned out and we'll quit serving altogether. And Satan would love for that to take place in all of our lives, okay? So friends, don't let Satan steal away the joy of the Lord. And it doesn't have to be the way we often allow it to become, so busy. If you're born again this morning, you are in fact a child of God. You're forgiven of your sins. You're precious to God. He loves you. He accepts you into His family. He knows the number of hairs upon your head. He has a perfect plan for your life. He says, I know my thoughts that I have towards thee. They're thoughts of good and not of evil. He knows what will make you happy. He knows what your potential is. He desires the best for you, and there's no limitation to what He will do in your life. But He wants you and I to know that. And that's where we derive our joy. And it's not only knowing that there is a God and that He saved us, but actually knowing Him personally and intimately. Understanding His character, understanding His desires, understanding His way of operating with His children. You know what I love so much about the Old Testament, and on our new reading schedules, of course, everybody, you might not have the same one as me, but the schedule I'm in has me mostly in the Old Testament, which I love, especially the history section of the Old Testament, because we see God interacting on a more personal, verbal level with, you know, speaking to his children and this sort of thing, which we don't experience in an audible sense today. But we see real human beings like you and I being in communion with God, being directed by God, and having God's word carried out in his in their life, and or God's plan carried out in their life. And what I'm getting to here is when I read that, it helps me understand the character of God and how he operates. It's no different. Now again, he doesn't come to us audibly, but his interaction in our life is so the same as it was with Isaiah, and the same as it was with Elijah or Moses and all of them. The same deal. He has the same power. He has the same wishes, same way of operating. So I'm encouraged when I read the Old Testament. It helps me with my joy. And so you start like this, and I'll be done. Start your day off, read some scriptures, and say, that's my God talking to me right there. That's my God. That's his words. That's his word for me this morning. I belong to him. And so I can leave there, and you read a little bit of scripture every day, and obviously you have some prayer with that, and thank God during your prayer that he spoke to you that morning. And you leave there, and whatever valley you may cross or whatever difficulty you may face, just say, God, give me ears to hear your voice. Give me eyes to see your action in my life. And say, God, I'll go through this, but I won't let this steal my joy. You know, I have a way as I don't know, probably as just a man, of sometimes compartmentalizing things. I don't know that that's always bad. It can be bad at times. But I have gained over the years, I don't know whether it's a skill, but the ability sometimes to, when going through a trying situation, to compartmentalize that situation once I get over into God's word and in prayer. Sometimes I can't. Sometimes I can't get it out of my mind. But I have practiced trying to compartmentalize the problem that's over here for a little while just by getting my mind over to the word of God in prayer. And I found when I have to return to that problem, because you got to go back. You can't put it away forever, okay? But when I go back to it, it's not nearly as bad as I thought it was. And I can actually deal with it and handle it with joy. Okay? I hope that's helped you tonight. And I'll ask you to stand. We will go ahead and have a verse of invitation. Maybe God spoke it. I know it's way early, but I probably won't hear any complaints about that. Maybe God spoke it to your heart and you come this evening.